This is a Montbold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Matthew, Mark, Luke. So third one in the New Testament. Chapter 2. And I'm going to read from verse 41. Luke 2, 41. And his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And fulfilling the days as they returned, the boy Jesus stayed in Jerusalem. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they looked for him among the kinsfolk and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they turned back to Jerusalem seeking him. And it happened that after 3 days, that's 4 days now, folks, 1 day on the journey back and 3 days searching, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and questioning them. And all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. This is a 12-year-old boy. If you want to get a picture of that, Joel's just had his 13th birthday. Todd is 12. That's the idea. That's the picture. Verse 48. And seeing him, they were amazed. And his mother said to him, "Child, why have you done so to us? Behold, your father and I have looked for you greatly distressed." And he said to them, "Why did you look for me? Do you not know that I must be about my father's business?" Now, personally, I think I would have had an answer to that question, which he would have felt. You know, a special bit of parental encouragement, a pat on the back, low enough, hard enough, long enough. Verse 50, and they did not understand the word which he spoke to them. And he went with them and came to Nazareth, and he was subject to them, but his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. I don't know, I think there were probably a few other things that his parents said to him, which God thought weren't necessary to record in the Bible. But after all, Mary and Joseph are normal parents, even though they obviously had an extraordinary child. I want to alert you to the fact that every child in this church is extraordinary. Born to parents who know the Lord. That's a blessing above every child of non-believers in this country. They attend a church where the word of God is revered and held up as the truth, where worship is sincere and honest, in an environment where the belief is for great lives, power and authority in and through the Holy Spirit. They have a great future in God. They're born for a destiny of incredible dimension. And the kids here are special. Guard them with your heart and guard them in your prayer life. So my encouragement to you this morning as I begin, and my challenge is, don't lose Christ at Christmas. Don't presume he's with you or in the company of others close to you. Search him out for yourself and make sure he's with you all this time. So why don't you turn to your neighbour and say, "Don't lose Christ at Christmas." Oh, come on, you can do better than that. Come on. I could hardly hear the whisper. Get serious about it. This is a serious message. It's possible that in the hustle and bustle of Christmas that we can be drawn away from him. What we are celebrating in the midst of the flurry of activity and preparations that we all get caught up in, something can be lost to us. And too many Christians lose Jesus in the midst of the very celebration about him. The scriptural passage which I just read records the reality that in the midst of Passover, the most important and the most special of all religious celebrations about Jesus, about the Messiah, about himself, he is our Passover lamb, in the joy of all, they lost him in the afterglow of that very celebration. And Christmas is our celebration of Jesus' incarnation, and it's possible to lose him in all the side issues of the very celebration we have created to recognize his birth, his mission to save mankind, his desire to make a way for you and me into the presence and for us to be acceptable to God. In the midst of all of this, we can lose him just as Mary and Joseph lost a 12-year-old boy. This passage is what happened 2,000 years ago. But the very same thing can happen to us today if we're not deliberate and if we're not focused on keeping Christ at the center of our Christmas. We can lose Christ in the very midst of our celebratory season. It's possible. It happens. But let it not happen to us. I'm not talking about losing Jesus in relationship. I'm talking about losing Jesus in fellowship. Mary and Joseph did not lose Jesus in relationship. Mary was still and always will be the mother of Jesus, and Joseph was Jesus' earthly father. They were a family. And as that family grew with brothers and sisters, they maintained family relationship. And that relationship never changes. But they did lose fellowship with him. They journeyed a whole day away from Jerusalem. No doubt singing, I don't know, Jesus loves me. Who knows? And they were a whole day away before they even realized he wasn't with them. He wasn't in the company anymore. See, familiarity and complacency mixed with a false sense of security that others were watching out for him left them stunned, bewildered, anxious, fretful, and scared that their 12-year-old son wasn't where they presumed he would be. Now, as a parent, you people as a parent, I can only imagine what that day's journey back to Jerusalem and 3 days of searching must have done to them. Panic, fear, all the thoughts of what evil may have overcome him, because you weren't safe in those days either, just as young kids are not safe today, even in the most religious of settings. I would have been at my wit's end with terror of what might have happened or what might have befallen my precious child. They were happy, 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 right up to that point of discovery. Hey, Jesus actually isn't with us. How did we do that? How did we lose him? They were excited and filled with joy for having celebrated the Passover. That was a wonderful experience. And then they realized that they had lost fellowship with the Passover lamb. It's like being in a church and realizing Jesus isn't there with you. I tell you, over my lifetime, Lynn and I have been in one or two churches like that, and somehow you suddenly become aware that there's no presence of God in the place. It's a shocking and it's a disturbing revelation. We read in Matthew 23:37, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. So after striving his best to save the people of Israel as their long-awaited Messiah, the world's Redeemer, just days before his crucifixion, he abandons the temple and walks away from that place. He walked out of their temple, abandoned it to their unfaithful worship until the time spoken of in Zechariah 14:1-4. And for 2,000 years, they have continued to worship without the presence of God. There remains a thread of relationship, but there is no fellowship with Jesus. So the search for Jesus begins immediately for Mary and Joseph. The Passover had been fantastic. Great worship, great services, great singing, great sense of atmosphere in worship. And they were basking in the glow of their encounter with God so much, they didn't realize God wasn't with them anymore. His parents were still mother and father. They still remained in relationship, but they had lost fellowship. And brothers and sisters, I want to remind you, it is possible for us to remain in relationship with Jesus, but lose fellowship with him. Right in the midst of even our Christmas season, when we are celebrating him like at no other time in the year. That's the reality. We can acknowledge our relationship with God as Father, our relationship with Jesus as Lord and Saviour, yet not be in fellowship with him. We can lose our intimacy with him. We can lose our love of him. We can distance ourselves from his presence. And we can do all of this in the midst of the happiest time of the year. We misunderstand the excitement and joy of celebration and presume Jesus is here, and then suddenly have to face the reality, maybe he's not. Maybe he's not. I want to tell you, I am not losing my relationship with Jesus Christ, but I can sure lose my fellowship with him. And that can happen especially in seasons like this. All the angst, all the pressure of preparations, decorations, celebrations can make me think he's here somewhere, but not get alarmed that I haven't actually seen him for a week because of my own busyness. I can assume that he's into what I'm doing when in actual fact I'm not giving him a thought because I'm so excited and happy that it's Christmas and there's so much to do and it's all good and it's all great. The danger of losing my fellowship with Jesus is that it is possible that down the road, a few more miles, a few more days, I may well also lose my relationship with Jesus as well. It's possible. So let us never suppose that we are in the company of Jesus when in fact we may have lost him, and never rest till you and he have found each other again. John 10:27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never ever perish, and not anyone shall pluck them out of my hand. My Father who gave them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand, because I and the Father are one." I love passages like that in the scripture because Jesus didn't shrink from personally recognizing his divine origin and glory when there was a need or when those realities were challenged. For the most part, however, he wished men to exercise their own faculties of discernment and to accept him, not because he told them who or what he was, but because they were inwardly convinced. There was an internal combustion. There was spirit to spirit. That's why Alana and Peter are being baptized on the 29th of this month. There's a connection which is ignited, and they can't wait to get in the water. In John 10:27, which we've just read, there are three characteristics of his sheep. You can hear. You are recognized by him, and you're to follow him. And in John 10:28, the very next verse, there are three privileges that you and I enjoy. We possess eternal life. We're never to perish and never to be snatched away by man or devil. Now note the safety of those who really belong to Christ, and note also, who really belong to Christ, those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, not the ones who say they are, but the ones who really are covered by the blood, redeemed by the blood, who accept and follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Saviour unequivocally. They're not only in his hand, but in the Father's hand, because the Father and Jesus are one. Your life is hid with Christ in God. There's double protection. You know, we can wander. We can lose joy. We can lose comfort. We can fall on dark and stormy times. But Jesus takes on this responsibility for us that we've been given to him by the Father. We're in his hands. He will pursue you. He will seek you. He will do all he can to draw you home. And that's true. Our relationship with Jesus involves our relationship with the Father. But if any should presume to live carelessly because of that grace, it's clear that such a one is not one of the sheep. If you are one of those churchgoers who have eternal insecurity, read that verse again. This verse is for you. When you are in the hand of Jesus, nothing can pluck you out of that hand. But you have to be in that hand. The only reason the devil hasn't plucked you out of the hand of God is because he can't. The only one that takes you out of his hand is you. So don't help the enemy by removing yourself. Don't help the enemy by losing Christ in your Christmas. You're in his hand, you're saved, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit. But you can lose intimacy through lack of fellowship with him. The people whom you would least expect to lose fellowship with Jesus, Mary and Joseph, they lost it. And over the years, some of God's choice saints lost close fellowship with God. Not all of them were refound because they didn't want to be refound. They didn't want to repent. Noah lost it. David lost it for a season in his life. Samson lost it for a season in his life. Simon Peter lost it when it mattered most, but he was refound. Judas lost it eternally. We can lose it too, so let's not deceive ourselves. 1 Corinthians 10:12, wherefore let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So don't put reliance on your own strength or your capacities. Take heed, reflect, put Christ in your Christmas. Understand it's him who keeps you. Confidence in our own security is no evidence that we are safe. Such a confidence may be one of the strongest evidences that we're in danger. Turn to your neighbour and say, is Jesus with you? Amen. Thank you, Joel. The adversary is especially desirous to draw away your thirst for God and to lead you into sin, because a fall which dishonors your faith is the present he wants to give Jesus this Christmas. So be on guard. Be close to the Lord and you'll feel yourself strong in him. You won't need cautioning. You know, it often happens that Christians, after they've been especially blessed with the evidence of God's favour, soon relapse to their former state, or fall into some sin that grieves the heart of their brethren or wounds the cause of faith. And so it is in revivals, and so it is in individuals. Churches that are favoured with his presence through close fellowship with him are filled with joy and love and peace all year round. My prayer is that we will never become self-confident, elated with ourselves, lose our humility, lose our sense of dependence upon him. We're watchful and prayerful. We don't presume all is safe. Our season of revival that God's bringing to us will not be succeeded by a time of coldness and decline, because our strength and our hope is in him, not in ourselves. So keep Christ in your Christmas. If you want a truly wonderful Christmas, it's him that makes the difference. With him it is joy and peace. Without Christ, it's just ho-ho-hum. It's a party going nowhere. And once New Year's over, it's downhill from there. Once you keep Christ in Christmas, and once you have him there, that's the spirit you want for the whole year, not just for the last week in December. It's possible for you and me to lose Jesus, yet still love him. Or at least love the thought of who and what he purports to be. You know, I love all that we do at Christmas. I love the decorations. I love the tinsel. I love the gifts. I love the songs. I love the special foods, especially Lynn's shortbread. Plum puddings made the other day. I love the goodwill. I love the peace. I love the cheer. I love the wonder in children's eyes. I love the family coming together in harmony and love, mostly. I love the carols. I love the trees. I love family time on Christmas Eve. I love attending church on Christmas Day, whether it's a Sunday or not. I love it all. But you know, I love Jesus more than all these things. And I love and want the close relationship and intimate fellowship with him more than all of these things. And I will still have a good Christmas whether I have those other things or not. People think that we only lose Jesus in the bar or in the club or in some den of iniquity. I think it's quite possible to lose him at Chadston or Eastland or Knox car park. But we could lose him right here. His mother and father lost Jesus in the very midst of the most important religious celebration. Passover was about Jesus as Christmas is about him. And it's possible that in the midst of all of this, you and I can become so distracted that we might lose our fellowship with Jesus, even though you and I have a great relationship with him. But don't let the celebration of Christmas take Jesus Christ out of his own birthday party. How on earth did Mary and Joseph lose him? They didn't lose him by opposing him. They didn't lose Jesus by denying him. They lost Jesus by presumption. They assumed, and like we always say, don't assume. It makes an ass out of you and me. They assumed it was right there. He was right there with them during the celebration. But in actual fact, he was way back there, still in the midst of the festivities. He was discussing and teaching those who were the religious leaders about his father when they left. Passover wasn't over for him. And church, I've got to tell you, Christmas will never be over for me. You can have a form of happiness at Christmas without the worship of Jesus. But you can't have the joy and the peace of Christmas without the worship of Christ. The Bible says that they were a day's journey from Jerusalem, which means that step by step they were getting further and further away from Jesus. They were happy, happy, celebrating. Wasn't that wonderful? And they're so caught up in it, they didn't even know he wasn't there. I can't really go much further in criticising them because Lynn and I left Courtney at Seymour Baptist one Sunday too. The Bible says they searched Jerusalem for 3 days before finding him in the temple. Why don't you tell your neighbour, it should have been the first place they looked. It should have been. It should have been the first place you looked. Sorry, the first place his parents looked. That was getting too personal, wasn't it? His parents should have looked there because they had had angelic visitations and words from God about him before his birth. There were prophecies from Simeon and Anna. They had the star, the shepherds, the magi, the gifts, the chorus of angels, the warnings to go into Egypt and then the call back to Nazareth. That's from God. They had much more than you and I ever had, and they still missed it. So I'm not trying to be hard on them, but I'm trying to encourage you that if they missed it, it's possible we could as well. This Christmas, we need to tell the Lord, we've come to do the business of celebration with you. We do love all the trimmings, but they are just a byproduct of our joy and celebration. They're not the main game. Jesus, you are. Christ, you will be in my Christmas. I will not be distracted or diverted. I will keep my eye on you. I will be intimate with you. I will take every opportunity to make you the center and the honored guest at this celebration of you. I will invite and participate with many others, but I will lift you above all of the accessories and make you the one and only true focus. You are Christmas, and you are the Christ in my Christmas, and I will not lose sight, sound, or fellowship with you this Christmas. His parents were a total of 4 days out of fellowship with Jesus. Ask your neighbour, how long has it been for you? Oh, look, no one's moving. Oh, who said Christmas was all happy, happy, happy? Come on, let's be honest with ourselves. How long have any of us been out of fellowship with Jesus? Is it as little as a day? Is it 4 days? Is it 4 months? Is it a year? Whatever. How long has it been? But more importantly, how long will you or I let it continue? Why don't we all make that decision now for Jesus? Why stay out of fellowship with him a moment longer? How do you find him again if you've lost him? Well, Mary and Jesus found Jesus right where they last left him. You see, the truth is, Jesus did not leave them. They left Jesus behind. They were so caught up in the celebration and themselves that they forgot all about who they were celebrating. And I want to say, and Jesus didn't lose you. The times you've been without him, you left him. So why not own it? Why not come back to the place that you left him? Why not rekindle that fellowship? Because you know you have a relationship with your King and your Saviour. Otherwise you wouldn't. If you don't feel the conscious presence of God in your life anymore, if you know that it was you who left him, then come back now before you take another step further away from him. If you want Christmas, come back to the altar. Come back. Find Christ. He's worth the search. And your relationship with him is worth your seeking fellowship with him. Come back to the altar. Come back to the prayer meeting. Come back to the home group. Come back to worship. Because it's there that you will find the one thing that you are really missing. The one thing that will fill you with joy. The one thing that will give you peace. And the one thing that will give you security. He is the one thing. You don't need all those other things in your life. But you need Jesus. I need Jesus. Put Christ back into his rightful place in your hearts, your homes, your relationships. Because that's the only way you will find real peace and real joy, the satisfaction of life with a purpose, because you are in fellowship, close and intimate, with the lover of your soul. Jesus Christ, the Christ of Christmas. Let's all make that sort of choice this season. Let's all make that choice today, so that we are in such tight fellowship by the time we get to the 25th. Decide, my family will not lose Christ. Decide, my children will not lose Christ. Decide that we will not get to the new year and realize that Christ isn't with us and not know when or where we lost him. That's not happening to us ever again. We're not going to mistake his presence. The decorations, the vacations, the gifts, the feasting, the merriment, they're great, but they're not substitutes for him. They're just symbols of our joy and delight in celebrating him. And we can have all that, but our Christmas is Christ, and without him, there's nothing actually to celebrate. I'm not traveling back to Jerusalem this year to find what I left behind in the excitement of the Sundays before. Because as much as I enjoy all the trimmings, Jesus is that bright and shining star of my Christmas. He's the reason for the season. He's the only attraction I care for this Christmas. Mary was the closest and most intimate with Jesus. She's mother of the Savior of the world. She was the one who had all those things stored up in her heart, yet she lost him during the most religious of things, Passover. So don't deceive yourself. I hope I don't deceive myself. We need to examine ourselves and make a conscious decision to keep our eyes upon Jesus this season. Because it can get lost in the car park. It can get lost when that person takes your parking spot, the one you prayed for, the one you asked God for, just as you came into Eastland. Celebrate Christmas. We ought to be doing it wonderfully and fully because we Christians have so much to celebrate, especially when we put him at the head of our celebration. Give gifts. It's a wonderful act of love. But perhaps you could put Christ into some extraordinary gifts this Christmas. Maybe a gift you could give is to mend a quarrel. Maybe the gift you could give is to dismiss suspicion. Maybe that gift is to tell someone, I love you. Maybe you could give something away anonymously. Maybe you could forgive someone who's treated you wrong. Maybe you could turn away wrath with a soft answer, especially in the sales. Maybe you could visit someone in a nursing home. Maybe, yeah, you could apologize if you were wrong. Maybe you could especially be kind to someone with whom you work. Maybe we could give as God gave to us in Christ, without obligation, without announcement, without reservation, without hypocrisy. Feast by all means, but set a place at your table for Christ. Take a meal to someone on their own or invite them to share your fare with you and your family. Decorate till your heart's content, but make sure your artistic touch magnifies the Lord. Make a manger scene in the middle of your table or in your front window. Focus on Christ, not on that poor imitation of me in the red suit. Worship like you've never worshipped before. Work on your fellowship with Christ. Restore your relationship with Him. Consider giving a gift to our fund to bless another church this year. But if you do nothing else this Christmas, at least do this. Put Christ into your Christmas. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we're declaring here, right at the beginning of our Christmas season, that Jesus is Lord. He is King of Kings. He is the Saviour of the world. He's our Saviour. He is the lover of my soul. And we are going to focus on Jesus this Christmas. Yes, Lord, we will be busy. Yes, Lord, we will be doing all sorts of things. But we are going to keep Christ in the very heart of Christmas. All these things we do, Lord, let us do them in love for those that we love and those that we don't even know. Let's be a blessing. But above all, let the blessing carry the power and the aroma of heaven. Let it carry that presence of God. Let it carry the Spirit of the Holy Spirit. Let it carry Christ into hearts and lives this season. Every time, Lord, we see somebody grumbling about the difficulty of Christmas, let's pause and let's take them on a journey and remind them about Jesus Christ and why He came. Help us, Lord, to focus. Help us to honor Him. Help us to keep Him at the head of everything. Lord, we love Him. We don't want to lose fellowship with Him. We want to keep and maintain that relationship we have, and we want Him to be the heart and core of everything that we do as a church, not just this Christmas, but into 2020, because that's where we're headed, and that's where we're going, and we're taking Jesus Christ with us. We're not leaving Him behind, Lord. We're not going back to pick up what we've left. It's too precious. We're taking it with us. So, Father, I pray, bless your people. Give them opportunity this week, Lord, in so many ways to make Christ the head of their Christmas. And I ask it in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.
Thanks for listening. And please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.